Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord that He's mightily moving by His Spirit. I'm in awe of the Holy Spirit and how He works. Whenever there's a great need, the Lord always puts things in motion. He puts plans in motion years and years prior to the time He reveals it. And that's what He's doing in these days. And He's raising up many men and women of God that will love Him, cherish His heart. They are willing to do all that's in His heart. And He's going to use them to win as many souls as possible before His mighty return, which is very soon. And I thank the Lord for that. Today He put on my heart to share about following God. It seems like a simple message, but I found it to be much more complex than I realized. In the early 90s, He taught me, as I drew near to Him and He drew near to me, He started teaching me about the greatest problem in the church. He said, the greatest problem in the church is that my people don't follow me. That's where they're weak. The main reason people die is because of a lack of knowledge. But the biggest problem is that people don't fully follow God. They partially follow God or they don't follow Him at all. And I'm not talking about the backslidden Laodicean type people. I'm talking about people who love God. Not like the Laodicea Church of Revelation, a cold church that love the world. I'm talking about people who really love God. They preach like it, they love God. They live like they love God. Their conversation is about God. But I learned the hard way, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that people are not always putting first the influence of the Holy Spirit. I learned that people love their will. Sometimes we love our will more than we love God. And I'm going to, so He gave me all sorts of revelation about following God. And I never really got a chance to fully express it, because the anointing, it does whatever the Lord does. The Holy Spirit governs our anointing. And I'm going to explain this later in the broadcast. But the anointing, I put it this way, as if there's two people talking. In that case, the anointing has two key switches. You know, I like to think of the anointing as like heavy equipment. I work on cars, trucks, and heavy equipment sometimes. Heavy equipment can do great work. And you start with the key. It's just like you do a car. But the anointing has two key switches. And I didn't know this for a very long time, and I'm going to talk about this later. The person that's anointed, as long as he's willing to operate in the anointing, he turned his key on. And sometimes you have to be at the right place for it to work in the presence of someone. And the person that's listening, they can turn it off when they get ready, and they can turn it on when they get ready. So the Lord would give me all sorts of revelation about following God. And when I get in the presence of some people, it's like I don't have that information anymore. It's like it's all been erased. And I don't have an anointing to talk about it. And then and sometimes we get on the subject and the Lord opens the door for me to talk to somebody. They may not even be in ministry yet. And I start talking about it and they turn the key switch on. And the Lord give me even more revelation, because they wanted it. They activated the anointing that God put on me. Now we'll talk about that later, but keep it in mind because it's important. The way the Lord brought this to me, it was a combination of things. In the 80s, in 1983, I became a Christian. In November of 83, I was going to a Methodist church, and I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Keith and Ruff's house. in Bradford. And I went to, but and I started going to Refuge Temple Church. And it was in North Birmingham near Caraway Hospital. In fact, Caraway Hospital acquired, they bought the land and tore it down. But the church was, Elder James Lewis was the pastor, and Bishop Bonner was the bishop over the church from Detroit. Anyway, at church every Sunday morning, for years, a wonderful woman of God, Carolyn Stevens, she would read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And verses 5 through 7. She read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Now she would read verses 5 and 6 every Sunday for years, and I would always listen to her. And that word got down in my heart. I wanted to know God, and that word got in my heart. So that's one work of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking years now. Years she read that scripture every Sunday, and that word got in me. Elder Lewis was a holiness preacher, and he was a good holiness preacher. And he taught the word in a rightly divided way. You know, I like the way he taught. He was a good teacher. They used to call him a teaching preacher. He'd start off with teaching for about 20, 30 minutes, and then he'd be a fireball of a man and just preach the word of God. And I said in other broadcasts that he also taught bondage, but that's not, let me put it this way. People preach, don't just preach the word, they preach their persuasions, they preach their convictions, they preach whatever they believe, they preach whatever they've been taught, and they preach all that they trust, even when it's wrong. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. Now, when I say that he taught bondage, he did. He taught the word in a bondage form. And we'll talk about that later. But there's life in the word, and he was not all wrong. Just like most, you know, there were some things he said that really blessed me. And some things he said that you couldn't use it in life. But overall he was honest. He really believed in what he was saying. And I thank the Lord for him. But one thing about him, the good thing that stood out, is that he taught the word in a way the Holy Spirit would guide him. He would give him a message. And you can tell from the first thought of the message, most of the time it would be from God. Just the title alone would bless you. So when the Lord called me to the ministry, I didn't want to be a preacher because I didn't know how to do all that. And I didn't know what the people needed. And I was very concerned. I said, if I'm a preacher, I gotta know something. I don't feel satisfied with what I know to stand before your people and teach. And I said, I'll do my best, but I don't think I'm ready for this. That was just, and I wasn't. I was right. But the Lord didn't need me to be ready. He needed me to be willing. He needed me to be obedient. And when I saw that he would give me a message, that's the first time I ever got interested. Even though when the Lord called you to the ministry, first he gives you a desire, and I had that. I wanted to be a blessing. And he give you a peace. Peace is the first gift when he give you an assignment. And I asked another brother, how did he know when the Lord called him to preach? And he said, first you get a desire, and then and you have a peace about it, and the Lord will call you. All that happened. He woke me up. He said, "Behold, you are my child. I've chosen you, and you should be a vessel of honor." And then I was kind of upset because I didn't know what to do. So I went in the living room, and I prayed, and I said, "Lord, what kind of preacher am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What do you want me to do? What type of preacher am I?" And he said, "Follow me." Now that's the first time he started with follow me. And so I got up and went on back to bed. And when I got the first sermon, some months later, that's when I got interested. Now, with that, all that being said, the anointing, when you have an anointing to do, I asked the Lord about the anointing. I wrote a paper on it on the website. On this website, newlivingletters.com, it's on the Living Letters page. After you listen to this, you can go and read what the Lord gave me about the anointing. The Lord, in this season that he gave me this definition, he had been giving me definitions about many words that we commonly use. And the Holy Spirit, I know that there are Hebrew and Greek and Arabic meanings to the word. So I just asked the Holy Spirit, he started giving me interpretations to words like faith and trust and words that we commonly use. And when he gave them to me, I understood those words and I was able to understand faith and trust better. And that was many words, but I'm just taking those two out for example's sake. So time went by and I asked him, I said, Lord, what is your definition of the anointing? He said, the anointing is a sanction. It is a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So if he called you to the ministry, you can operate through that anointing. And that's what I did. Because he would give me what to say. And when I realized he would give me what to say, and I knew that I didn't know what I was doing, I said, my strategy became, I'm going to say what he say. I'm not going to juice it up. I'm not going to inject any of my thoughts into it. I'm going to say what he say, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And when he stop, I'm going to stop. And then I'm going to go back and consider everything. Because he had me talking to people. And he's addressing their needs. And out of all the things he could have had me to say, the things he gives me is what he gave. So I said, well, that was the wisest thing for me to speak at that time to those people. I said, so I'm going to pay attention. And I took notes in my heart, how he ministered, how he had me minister, how he the examples he would give me to use. He would give me like a format in every message. He would give me scriptures for what he had me to say, and I would make an outline like I saw other ministers do. But I would receive from him, and then I relay it to the people. And then I turn around and meditate on it and learn from it. Now that, my friend, is following God. And so the things that I had concerns about, such as women wearing pants, whether women could preach or not, the things that I heard over the pulpit that never really sat right in my heart, I said, when I preach, I'm going to see if he give me those same things like he do other ministers. He never did. Come to find out, people preach things that they believe more than the Word of God. I paid more attention to the Holy Spirit, and the way that other people ministered, he didn't give me the things that are really neither here or there, and the things that are just outright wrong. The Holy Spirit will not commission you to teach error. And I later found out that some of the things that I was taught and that was being taught was error. Some of the things that people taught all the time, it was just error. So I steered away from it. And eventually, I saw that there was a difference in the way that I preached and other people preached. And it spiked my curiosity. And I said, Lord, you'll never have me talk about this or that, you know. But what he would give me, I would learn from it. And it always made the difference. Now, another thing happened to help me learn to follow God, besides when he told me to follow him. And I never forgot it, but I didn't know how important it was either. I learned it along the way. I was in business, and in business you make mistakes. And the more mistakes you make, the more it costs you. and the less mistakes you do, the more it don't cost you. Got my words tangled up. But when he told me something, I even forgot what the wisdom that he gave me, but it worked. It worked so good. I said, wait a minute, Lord, you could have told me this months ago, and it could have saved me from many mistakes that I made. I said, how can you tell me this a long time ago, even years ago? And this is what he said. He said, when a man leans to his own understanding, he can't with a T, learn the ways of the Father. I'll say that again. When a man leans to his own understanding, to his own ways, he cannot learn the ways of the Father. And man, the wheels went to turning. I said, what? I said, all this time I could have been better off. I would have been hundreds and hundreds of dollars more better off than I was at that time because of that wisdom that I lacked. And the Holy Spirit gave me the answer that I needed because I prayed for it. The Holy Spirit is always here to guide us in all truth. And sometimes when you pray for the answer, quieten your spirit. Be at peace. Don't try to figure it out anymore. Just be at peace. That way when the Holy Spirit gives you the answer, you'll be able to receive it. Because not only must you receive it, you also have to mix faith with it, just like you do the Word of God. Or you'll let it slip and it'll be lost. And you'll be right back where you started. So what happened next changed everything. The moment he gave me that wisdom, which I forgot right now, and I'm going to have to ask him what it was, but I used that wisdom. And I never stopped using it. I just forgot what he said. Because this took preeminence over what he said. What he told him, when he said a man can't learn, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. It's like time stopped for a while. Now, at that time, I still remember what he said. But over time, I always think about this part of that day. And I was at UAB when he told me this. I was taking classes in engineering. And I was at the school, and that's where he told me. So when he said this, I said, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do whatever you say do, whether I like it, whether I love it, or even if I hate it. I'm going to do whatever you say because you said it and I trust you. Now, all those things working together, he answered my concern. I knew it was wisdom. I was thankful for it. And then he said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. I thrust myself in trust towards God. Now, what I did was made a vow. And I did it consciously. I did it soberly. I did it with enthusiasm. And to this day, I'm glad I did it, because that enabled God to work with me. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. Some of the things that the Lord told me to do, I would not have done it. I would have disobeyed him like other people did. But I remembered the vow. And I was not always courageous. I was not always in faith about it. But because he said do it, I made myself do it. Sometimes I had to confess that I would do it. Sometimes I would be so nervous about it, I would say, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And all the fears, doubts, concerns, I rebuked them. Now, I learned from Charles Capps and Kenneth Hagin how to operate in faith. Charles Capps' assignment was to teach people to speak confessions of faith. And he taught he was a godsend. His anointing, he was anointed to teach people how to confess, how to use their words to speak life into their life. Now, in those days, most people they used their faith for the American dream, a bigger house and a better job, the kind of car they want to drive, extra money to go out to eat with, whatever. College education, they speak faithfully all the stuff and toys and props that they could think of. But I said, none of that's worth anything if your heart ain't right with God. So I used my faith for things that I wanted, but more than that, and I say that more than that, I would use it to do the will of God and to make adjustments in my character. So I will confess when I was afraid to do what God said do. Now fear is something that falls off your life as you love God. And I found out that God don't like fear. I was afraid one time, or I was afraid twice. And I could tell that the Lord didn't like it. The Lord added to my ministry the discerning of spirits. And I can sense how the Holy Spirit feels. Now, I believe anybody can do that. Now, I'm not sure if that that's because of the gift of discerning of spirits, but I can sense that God did not like me being in fear. And I could sense other things about God, too. I could sense his emotions. I saw two pastors cry because the Holy Spirit was crying. And I could sense that they did that because that's how God felt. They represented how the Holy Spirit felt. And when I got a fear, I knew he didn't say it, but I knew he didn't like it. So I worked on it. I said, I fear nothing. I will confess that I fear nothing. And when I would be afraid to speak or didn't feel like I had the courage to speak what God said, I would say, I'm going to speak it in the name of Jesus. I am not afraid. I'm not afraid to minister God's word. And I would say, Thurston, you're going to walk over there and tell that person what God said. And I made myself do it. And all the reasons I had for not doing it, when I did it, I was so happy because they were receptive. Things came to pass. Things happened. It helped people get on the right track. And the bluff of the devil was just a bluff of the devil. And a lot of people walk away from the perfect will of God because the devil bluffed them. And then the Lord taught me how to talk to somebody in a crowded place. How he would give me messages for pastors. And when I would take the message that I wrote at home, he'd be preaching it. That was a witness that I was on the right track. He'd be preaching it. And then when I give it to him, he'd read it and he'd look at me like you. it resembled his message, but it was telling him to follow God at the same time. The Lord, the works of the Holy Spirit is awesome. So I didn't always have the courage I needed, but because I made that vow, I did what God said do. So I found out that what I went through is people go through it all the time. People feel they're not sure about. But, you know, God's will is his will. Their will is their will. And people love their will, sometimes more than they realize. And this is the test. The last thing God told you to do. Did you do it? Did you complete it? Did you start and stop? Did you do it until somebody discouraged you? Did you get discouraged and stop? Are you still working on it? Are you going to complete it? And did you do everything he said do in completing it? Anytime he give you anything to do, a book to write, a word to speak, something to study, did you complete it? Did you do it? If he show you a part of his word he wants you to study, do you do it? Because if you do it, that's another step towards his perfect will in your life. Are you afraid of his perfect will? And most people are. So when I say follow God, they're challenged. They say, he might send me to Africa. He might send me to China. He might send me to Australia. And I don't want to leave my country. What am I going to do? What are you going to do? God has a right to send you wherever he wants. But I promise you this, if he send you somewhere, you're going to have a peace about it. You're going to be blessed to do it. You're going to want to do it. And you're going to have an anointing for it, and you'll be able to do what others can't, and people will live because of it. That's where following God is it takes you on a journey, you know. It's an adventure, you know. Just like The Hobbit. I like to watch those movies sometimes. Gandalf told Bilbo, do you want to share an adventure? No. But he did, and he come out to love it. Well, that's a parable. I'm using it as a parable for what it's like to follow God. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. If God loves you, he's going to give you the best. And he designed you for whatever he gives you to do. But most of the works of God, millions of the works of God, are not being done because people have all these concerns at the devil's will. The devil's behind their demise, their defeat. They love God. They want to be a Christian. But when it's time to be a Christian, they don't always want to do what Christ said do. The good thing is they're not in sin. They jump that hurdle. They avoid sin like they're supposed to. They take authority over Satan like they're supposed to. They lay hands on the sick sometimes like they're supposed to. But the details are not being done. And the training is not always being done. You have to have training to follow God. And the Holy Spirit, the only way to receive the training is to follow God's lead. Continually, day by day. Whatever he say do, you do it. Make it the highest priority of your day. Do all the things you're supposed to do. Just make sure you do that. Now, another part of my ability to follow God came when he gave me some instructions. He changed my study habits. I used to study the chapters that would get me, or not chapters, but the scriptures that would get me out of my ditch. Anything I had a concern about, I studied. I used to like to read about the end times. I read the book of Revelation. I read the book of Daniel, compare notes, just for fun. And it blessed me. And then I studied my ministry outlines, because he told me every time you minister, put the word back, because the word charges your heart. And when you preach and minister, you discharge. You're giving the word away. It's leaving you. You get weaker. He told me to always put it back, receive again what I've taught, so I could use it in my life. So I would do that. But then he told me, he said, I want you to read 5 chapters in the morning, 5 chapters in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. Now this is when me and the Lord started dialoguing, and when I obeyed these scriptures. And what happened from there, he started schooling me and teaching me. And I thought other ministers could do it, and they can if they want to. And I would tell them how I did it. My strategy was to give people as much information as I possibly could so they could do greater than they were doing, and greater. I don't care if people do better than me. I want them to, because we are a body. If you think I'm going to be the best, if your goal is to be the best that God ever made, that's a dead-end goal, because we're stronger in unison. We're stronger when we work together, following the Holy Spirit. The more people follow the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ gets stronger. When the body of Christ gets stronger, God can move like he wants to. We restrict him because we follow our own thoughts and will. And we have to unlearn those things in order to see what's next. And I like the things that God have already done, but there's a whole lot more that he wants to do. And it's not going to happen because of me. It's going to happen because of us. And I know that. I have a part to play. You have a part to play. Others have their part to play. And that's how it works. I'm going to die. If the Lord tarry, my body won't last. What then? You're going to die if the Lord tarry. Or we're going to get raptured. I hope that we finish our course and get raptured out. Or get raptured as while we're still working. That's optimal to me. Then I don't have to die. But at any rate, we're not going to always be here. And the greatest strategy is to get as many people saved as possible. And to do that, we have to live a healthy life. See, the assignments that the Lord give you, it'll come as he trains you. He'll introduce it to you as he... You're going to have to follow him to get there. And when you get there, you're going to love it. Now, we're going to continue this broadcast because the file only holds 30 minutes. And we're about there. So, share these broadcasts with those you love. Encourage people to go to newlivingletters.com and they can listen to all the broadcasts they want. Everything's free. Until next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.